Welcome to Chats with Kira podcast, where no conversation goes unspoken. For those who are new here, I'll introduce myself. My name is Kira and I'm a final year mental health nursing student studying in University College Cork, which is based in the south of Ireland. Today we will be talking all about postnatal depression. Postnatal depression and anxiety are the most common mental health problems during pregnancy, affecting 13% of women. I will also be speaking with a midwife with an abundance of knowledge and experience working with women who have suffered with postnatal depression, as well as a woman with first-hand experience of the illness. To respect confidentiality, I will be using pseudonyms for both of my guest speakers. All right, let's get started. Depression itself refers to a spectrum of mental health problems characterized by the absence of positive effect. These include a loss of interest and enjoyment in ordinary things and experiences, low mood, and additional cognitive, physical, and behavioral symptoms. The DSM-5, which is a manual for assessing and managing mental health disorders, has criteria that specify for postnatal depression. Onset is during pregnancy or within 4 weeks after delivery of the newborn. It is normal for many women to feel a bit down, anxious or tearful in the first week after giving birth. This is often called the baby blues. It's so common it's considered normal. Baby blues do not last more than 2 weeks after giving birth, and if symptoms are lasting longer or start later, you could have postnatal depression. The health service executive highlighted some of the key symptoms of postnatal depression, such as loss of appetite, feeling tired all the time, sleeping difficulties, poor concentration, being agitated and crying easily. Some feelings and thoughts you might experience include feeling inadequate and panicked, or feeling rejected by your baby and worrying excessively about your baby. Obsessive behaviour may be another sign of postnatal depression. You may experience overwhelming fears, for example, about your baby dying. Some mothers have recurring thoughts about harming their baby, although very few mothers ever act on this. Do not let worrying thoughts you may have about your baby stop you from seeking help. The majority of women with postnatal depression are treated at home with their baby. Postnatal depression is usually prevented by non-pharmacological interventions such as good support and techniques, including relaxation, rest, and good diet and fluids. These are which are highlighted to the woman by a midwife prior to discharge as part of postnatal education. We are now going to hear more about postnatal depression from a registered midwife who works closely with women in the postnatal period. Hi Lorraine, thank you for joining me today.
Hi Kira, it's great to be here and I'm glad to be of a help. I hope the information that I have will be useful to you and to others, particularly to some of your listeners who would have an interest in this area.
I hope so too. So to get started, we'll discuss who's at risk.
So, tough question, Kira, because I suppose postnatal depression, you know, it affects 10 to 15% of women. It is of a higher prevalence to women who would have a history of mental health illness. For instance, if a woman had a history of depression in the past or severe anxiety, it would put them in the more at-risk category to developing postnatal depression after having their baby. Other than that, a traumatic birth can also have a significant impact on a woman, and therefore down the line can have an impact on them, you know, in the development, I suppose, of postnatal depression. Again, we would define a traumatic birth as maybe a delivery that may have ended up having to be instrumental, or a woman who may have had hoped to have had a normal delivery and it having to go to a section. Baby is the boss, we see at the end of the day, and we have to put the safety of mom and baby first. And, you know, from that then, as health professionals, we need to recognise, you know, the signs of when to take action and take control of a situation. And, you know, I suppose it can sometimes be out of our hands and out of the hands of what mom wishes for. But, you know, we need to put the safety of them first. Unfortunately, if this isn't in their birthing plan, you know, this can have a significant impact on them postnatally. And, you know, I suppose it's very important as midwives to debrief women accordingly after their birth. And I suppose even if things go to plan, or, you know, what is a plan? You know, at the end of the day, you know, we need to, you know, address it and see how they are. and you know, see how they're getting on, and you know, from there, as I previously said, you know, debrief them on anything, and you know, encourage their partners as well. Do you know what I mean? To, you know, just to keep a close eye, and if they think that, you know, she's a little bit maybe, you know, not as involved, or maybe not communicating as what she normally would, we'd be, you know, keeping an eye on these kind of little early cues.
That's very interesting. So, you know, to have an open mind about the pregnancy and not go in with too high hopes, just to see how things go and
Absolutely. I suppose, you know, we see a lot of birthing plans coming in, which we love and which we encourage, but I suppose it's that women aren't overly, you know, reliable on, you know, on these things, that they're not going solely on this plan, because unfortunately plans don't always go to the way we want them to go, and at the end of the day, it's that little baby in there, what they say goes, from the word go. So we have to take that into account.
It's very interesting to see that, like, you know, a traumatic birth can have such an impact on the woman postnatally.
Absolutely, yeah. It's, you know, I suppose, like, that it's one of these things that it can, you know, play on their mind afterwards and make them ask questions like, you know, could I have done something differently, or, you know, did I do everything that I should have? And it's one of these things that it's out of, you know, their control. It's, you know, we have to go with what is, you know, given to us, really, I suppose. And we have to perform in a safe manner and carry out safe and effective care based on, you know, the knowledge and the expertise that we have.
Wow, that's very interesting to hear about that. Is there any way that you can recognise or, like, screen for postnatal depression, like, earlier on? Or
so, yeah, so I suppose, Kira, you spoke about at-risk women, and, you know, in the antenatal clinics where we see women while they're pregnant, we would assess women at that stage using the Hooley questionnaire, so how a woman is feeling at that current time, whether she's anxious or feeling depressed or overwhelmed. And then, depending on a woman's score, we would be, you know, sending referrals to the specialist perinatal mental health services. And they are a fantastic group of midwives and mental health nurses who work closely with ourselves on the wards. And, you know, they can actually communicate with women at home in the antenatal period, which is great. And then, you know, in the intrapartum period, or when a woman comes into us in labour, I suppose it's assessing how she's coping, how she's getting on, you know, sometimes, like, reading between the lines, like, you know, how is she coping with this change, with this transition, you know, when this baby is born, when the baby comes into the world, are we seeing that there's a bond present, that, you know, she's bonding with the baby, we're recognizing all this, and obviously we're encouraging the partner as well, and we're just making sure that the transition is made easier with the support of ourselves. Other than that, postnatally, which is where I would spend most of my time, we would do a check on the mother daily, and when we come in, you know, we would assess her, like, as I previously said, how is she transitioning to motherhood. If she may not necessarily have to be a first-time mom, but, you know, how are things going for her? And from there, then, you know, we're just seeing how she's getting on, how is she bonding, how is she coping, and just seeing if there's any little things that we can do that will help her or alleviate any stresses or concerns. And I suppose the key thing to know in that is that education is key.
That's interesting. What other supports would be available for the mother when, you know, when she'd leave the ward? And
so, yeah, I spoke to, I suppose, about the specialist perinatal mental health team, and they're a team comprised of, you know, consultants, obstetricians and midwives, social workers and so on. And like that, they would be closely linked into the woman. If we have a woman who is at risk or is currently being seen by the team, the specialist perinatal mental health team, then they would be followed up at home with phone calls, or they might have to come into clinic. Other than that, you know, we would be letting the public health nurse know in the referral letter, and we would be liaising with the woman's GP in order to, you know, ensure that she's okay and that things are going to plan for her. I suppose the important thing to highlight, you know, in the postnatal period for women before they ever leave is recognising the signs, and that their partners are aware of this as well. You know, the baby blues are usually kind of day 3 to 4. And it is normal for women to feel tearful as their hormones start to return to normal levels. But it's important to note that women, you know, if this is continuing for a longer period, that this is not normal. And that's why what I want to stress today for your listeners, I suppose, is that education is key, and it's, you know, something that they should be aware of. You don't have to be a woman with a history or in the at-risk category to develop postnatal depression.
Wow, Lorraine, you have so much knowledge and information on the topic. I wish I could talk to you longer, but
thank you, Kira. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today.
It's been great, and thanks very much for having me.
I'm sure my listeners have got great information from yourself.
I hope so. I hope so. And it's been great having this chat, Kira, and hopefully I'll be back chatting with you again at some stage.
So now I'm going to speak to Elizabeth, the woman who has experienced postnatal depression, to tell us her story. Welcome to the podcast, Elizabeth. It's great to have you on. Thanks so much for agreeing to speak to us today. So let's get started from the beginning. How old is your daughter now?
Lucy is 4 now.
Very good. So when you first had her, so tell us about her birth.
I had a really good pregnancy. All went so well during pregnancy. It was very healthy. And it was such an exciting time.
So the lead up to the birth, emotionally, how are you feeling?
I felt positive, happy and excited to be meeting my baby. She was born in September, and I really wanted a natural birth. It's what I'd hoped for. But in the end, she wasn't coming, and I was exhausted and couldn't take the pain any longer. So I got the epidural. I think I had too much expectations from the get-go. Everything was going so well, I never thought that I would develop postnatal depression.
Okay, so when you brought Lucy home, was it soon after that you noticed something was wrong?
It all happened so fast, yeah. I was extremely tired and didn't have any energy. I wasn't bonding with Lucy and often just left friends and family to take care of her, as I just didn't have the energy. And the bond just wasn't there, really.
Okay, so what was the key factor that you knew for sure something wasn't right?
For me, it was the fact that I stopped sleeping. It was a kind of interrupted sleep in between feeds, and instead of sleeping, I would stay up all night.
Okay.
I felt agitated as well.
Okay, and you know, I actually read an interesting article before chatting with you today. It was written by Sarab Irenpour. Right. It was about the association between sleep and postnatal depression. Oh. Yeah, it highlighted that postnatal depression can seriously affect quality of relationship between the mother and the baby.
Oh yeah, for sure. The natural sleeplessness of having a newborn can be really added to.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, the study found as well that low sleep quality can lead to depression, and that the delivery has physical, physiological and psychological effects on the woman's sleep.
Yeah, and also taking care of a newborn with irregular sleep patterns will, of course, result in sleep disturbance for the mom in the early stages. And for all of us, really, a lack of sleep can really affect our mental functioning.
Yeah, that's for sure, Elizabeth. So what did you do yourself, or what did you find helped during that difficult time?
I reached out for support from my family. And anyway, they knew there was something was wrong or something wasn't right.
Okay.
So I reached out for support to my family. If I hadn't such high expectations, and I was a bit more realistic about the cesarean. I guess I had too much pressure on myself and really just wish I was kinder to myself at that time.
Okay, so what advice would you give to expectant mothers or new mothers?
I suppose just not to be so hard or too hard on yourself. It's a massive change in your life, and to reach out to family and friends. If you feel like you're struggling, people are more than happy to help, in my experience. And if you give them a chance, they're there and willing to help. Just let them know. And there are so many supports available as well to you. My GP linked me in with the perinatal mental health team, who were incredible.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much now for chatting with me, Elizabeth. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. I wish you all the best for the future.
Thanks so much for having me, Kira. I hope my story helps others and encourages them to reach out.
There is a lot of guilt and shame with new mothers. The fact that they may not be coping and feeling perhaps how they feel that they should. There's so much social construction and pressure around women to be the perfect mother, and there's so much on TV around having a baby, and it's really idealised, but I think the reality for many couples and many women is quite different initially. Remember, depression is an illness like any other. It's not your fault and it can happen to anyone. The HSC website provides a plethora of supports and advice available for anyone suffering with postnatal depression. Some of the support groups include Postnatal Depression Ireland, GROW, AWARE, Parentline and Samaritan's 24-hour listening service. Phone numbers and website links are available on the hse.ie website /getting help. That's all we have time for today. Thanks to my listeners for listening in. Tune in next week for another interesting episode on Chats with Kira podcast.